This is the Drive and Dish Podcast, talking about NBA news, stats, and fantasy. To start it off, it's Tim Tompkins.
It seems like the Heat this year, with the way that they're built, they have a lot to prove, and I think that they could potentially be the 2 seed in the East.
Kevin Rayfuse.
It's October 28th. The Spurs play the Thunder. And so you got Lamar Saldridge making his debut with San Antonio. You've got Kevin Durant, first game back, coming off foot surgery. You know, we know these teams have battled before, twice in the Western Conference Finals.
Justin Cousart.
You got to get somebody around Davis. Maybe some guards that can get on the ball, so not Lance Stevens.
Let's go.
So I don't know if you guys have seen this in the news recently. Ashley Madison, it's a website designed to help you have an affair and cheat on your spouse. Anyway, so a bunch of hackers got into the website and they've leaked the names of everyone who was on there in a fine example of karma.
Yes.
I don't really know how to feel about this either. Not that I agree or endorse cheating by any means, but I feel like if you're going to actively seek an affair with other consenting adults, that's your own right, and that should be kept private. Like, I feel like what they were doing was wrong, but it doesn't justify the hackers with that invasion of privacy.
I can totally understand that, and I agree. I don't think that putting your personal information out there is great. It's just one of those things where it's like, I'm struggling to feel bad, really.
Like when the nudes of all the celebrities came out, I felt bad.
Oh, those people are trying to be humiliated, which I guess is kind of the same thing for the Ashley Madison people. But I mean, it's not the hacker's right to go and disclose something that somebody's personal information or their intents are. I can't get behind it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just one of those things. Like, it's kind of like you feel bad, but also, like, it's like, well, you're a dick. You were cheating.
Well, I mean, Kevin just made that point, too, where he's like, I don't agree with him, but I'm having a hard time feeling bad for him. I'm kind of in the same boat, but right. There has actually been a couple of suicides.
Yeah, there were a few,
really?
A few in Canada. Yeah, I think they said 3 people died in Toronto. I'm sure there's been others, but those 3 were all recently.
There was a police officer. There was, like, a police chief somewhere who committed suicide in the U.S. because of it.
Oh, there were people everywhere. I mean, they said there were hundreds of people at ESPN and all sorts of government offices, higher-ups. Like, this didn't spare anyone. But I guess the point of us bringing this whole story up is Justin's hometown, shout out to Lansdale, Pennsylvania, is one of the highest number of users of Ashley Madison on the list. Justin,
right.
There's a murder at your apartment complex last week. Your hometown is full of a bunch of cheaters. I mean, you defend yourself, man. What's going on?
I read that story. So, okay, it's not the top ever. What it is it's the second highest in Pennsylvania, and Pennsylvania is like the fifth or sixth on the list of states that used it the most.
Okay, so you're talking like top 12.
Yeah, it's pretty high up there.
Okay.
And so the first thing I did is I got on my phone and I texted my dad, "You piece of shit." He said, he called me. He said, "Don't you ever curse at me. I'm your father."
My mom would say something like that.
And then I was like, "Dad, you're missing the point." And then we talked about it and we laughed. And then,
so this is the farm town that you grew up in, right?
Yeah, well, see,
I wouldn't really say it's a farm town.
It used to be. It's right. Not anymore. It's really being taken over by the city of Philadelphia.
Well, yeah, that's
growing,
kind of
expanding.
Suburban Philadelphia in general. Like, mm-hmm. It was the same way with the town that I grew up in. It all used to be farms. I mean, the main road is Route 422 that runs through my town in particular, and it goes towards Justin if you get on a few other roads. But it used to be all farms. I mean, this was a 2-lane road that's now turning into a 6-lane highway. I mean, suburban Philadelphia, you got to go pretty much an hour outside of the city now if you're looking for farmland, where before it'd be like you pretty much get outside the city limits and you're in farmland.
Yeah, it's funny. Not really that surprising to me, to be honest, because...
What, that they got hacked?
No, that Lansdale was like the second highest.
Why, is there a bunch of douchebags there?
Not douchebags, it's just like, it doesn't surprise me. I don't know how to explain it, but I'm not that surprised.
I was talking to somebody earlier today, and they were telling me that also all the data came out on Ashley Madison.
It's like 2 girls.
Yeah, and it's like millions of messages have been sent by men compared to 2,000 total sent by women.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all these dudes.
But I feel like that could be the same for Tinder. I feel like, but Tinder's like a more popular thing, but I'm sure if you could get the numbers, there's more guys than girls on Tinder.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, and Tim said this to me off the mic earlier. It's just, you know, women don't need to do that if they're looking for an affair.
Right. Women just need to walk.
And well, and you know, there's a little side comment. The reason I went to Flagler College, shout out to Flagler College, was because when I was applying, the ratio was two girls to every guy.
That's what you based your college education off of?
And it was near a beach. And there was a radio station. All three locked it in. And they still didn't want to accept me, so I had to bribe my way in.
No, that's super valid. My parents tried to get me to move to Alaska once, and looked up the ratio of men to women.
You get paid to live out there, man.
That's fine. I looked up the ratio of men to women, and I was just like,
You get paid to live out
there. I'm pretty sure there's a TLC.
It's like $1,000 a year.
$2,000 a year.
Rick, what is that going to do for you?
Anyway.
I mean, when you don't have anything to do anyway, $2,000 goes a long way.
I'm pretty sure there's a TLC show on... like dating in Alaska because there's just not that many women up there. Like it's actually a problem.
I would take my girl on a bear hunting date if I lived in Alaska.
Well, when I lived in Boston, there weren't a lot of women either. And so I ran into the situation where in Arizona, I could get an attractive average girl. But in Boston, because there weren't as many women up there, or at least the ratio of better looking women compared to less attractive women, what I was able to pull in Boston was really below my standards that I had been growing up with. And so it's probably like that in Alaska, where in order to get one of those women, because there's so few of them, if you aren't a super attractive guy, you don't get one.
Dude, I feel like in Alaska, you got to find a significant other just so you can like share body heat at night.
How's the gay population in Alaska? Does that lead to a higher gay population?
I literally don't know. I know it's super
racist. I feel
racist.
Like there's no scientific evidence behind that sentence you just said.
Well, it's like kind of like going to prison. If there's no women, if there's so fewer women in an area, does that mean that men are more apt to fist?
All right, boy. Well, this is getting way off track. So welcome to the Drive Dish NBA podcast. My name is Kevin Rafes. Joining me to my left, my co-host, Tim Tompkins.
Ball don't lie.
And behind the boards, keeping us honest as always, our producer, Justin Kuzart.
I didn't appreciate playing with Shaq until I played with Dwight Howard.
Oh, Kobe.
Yep. And he didn't tweet that, to be fair. He said it on Shaq's podcast the other day.
I haven't listened to this yet in full. I've only seen some of the clips that have come out. But this is, I mean, obviously we encourage you all to listen to us. But as a basketball fan, I am so excited to listen to this podcast.
Did you know next week is Shaq week on NBA TV?
Oh.
Yeah. Why? All Shaq, all week.
So you mean this week?
Oh, I guess it's this week, yeah, because we're putting this on a Monday. So, yeah, this week is Shaq week.
Interesting.
NBA TV, well, yeah. So
it's kind of random. Is there a reason?
I literally don't know. It's like Shark Week, but with Shaq.
Interesting. Yeah, I've never actually listened to Shaq's podcast either, but just the fact that it's him and Kobe one-on-one. I mean, you talk about him and Kobe, you talk about one of the greatest NBA dynasties that could have maybe been the greatest and then wasn't.
This is my favorite thing about the NBA TV. Their promo for Shaq week was him trying to make a three-point shot, and he missed it like 9 times, and then they just stopped the video and say, Shaq week, pretty much.
I mean, hey, it could have been worse. He could have been shooting free throws.
Hey, you know, that's true. And, you know, we always like to show our love every week to the reviews we be getting in, and we got another one, right,
Kevin? Yeah, we did get another review this week, and before I read this one, I want to say that we have seen all of your reviews if you've left one to this point. We promise we will get to it, but you guys have just been phenomenal over the last few weeks. We've got a lot, so we're playing catch up a little bit.
Yeah.
So don't fret, it will be read. This one actually comes from the United Kingdom. So shout out to Britain.
Yo.
It's from UK Piston. He titles this review, "The Best Podcast for Basketball, Hands Down." And he says, "Love listening to these guys talk basketball at work. It makes the day go quicker. Can't go wrong listening to this podcast if you're a basketball fan."
So thanks. I'm glad he thinks we're the best. Yeah, and I'm glad we're making your day go faster.
Yeah,
that's like
more importantly, right. I'm glad we are helping improve your work day.
Because those can be rough. I text friends all the time. They're just like, dude, how is the day not over? And I'd like to point out, I've never felt that about working at the radio station, which I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah, no, I said that that's one of the best things about my job, I guess, is I never feel like I'm counting the hours, which is a fun time.
Yeah, usually I'm like, oh, crap, I got to go. I'm going to hit my overtime, and
so
then I'll get yelled
thank
at.
You, UK Piston, though. I wonder who UK Piston's a fan of. We'll have to figure that out next episode.
Mavericks.
I appreciate the sentiment. I can't agree with him whatsoever.
I
love our podcast. Oh. I really do. But I just think that there are way better ones.
It's one of those things, like on a scale of 1 to 10, we're like a 3.
Dude,
no, I think it's personally, I as a top five, I would put us in the top five, but there's no way I would put us as the top one.
Dude, okay. You're more of a buzzkill than Buzz Killington.
You can't use that. I use
Why don't we get into some news?
Tell me something I do not know. Do not know.
Now. If you do not know the present, how can you claim to know the future?
Now on NBA News on the Drive and Dish podcast.
We need to know now.
All right, first in your news, the Suns are going to induct Steve Nash into their Ring of Honor. Russell Westbrook married his longtime girlfriend last weekend. The Pelicans' strength coach says Anthony Davis is stronger than he has ever been. He gained 12 pounds of muscle this offseason. Former All-Star Josh Howard is working out with Dallas. He's apparently attempting an NBA comeback. The last time he played was in 2012. Omar Caspi says the Kings are going in the right direction and can make the playoffs in the West. Clippers are in discussions with a veteran forward Chris Singleton. Jim Buss says he's open to the idea of Kobe Bryant playing beyond this season. Steve Ballmer rejected a $60 million a year deal with a local TV station for the Clippers. He may start streaming the service. And lastly, and kind of sad in our news, Daryl Dawkins died Thursday at a hospital in Allentown, Pennsylvania. He is 58 years old. Although the official said an autopsy would be performed on Friday, his family said it was a heart attack was the cause of his death. And that's your news for this week.
Something.
So, in some very sad news, and we hate to start the show really right on sad news, though, but a 76ers absolute NBA legend has unfortunately passed away at the very young age of 58.
Yeah, rest in peace, Daryl Dawkins, passed away of a heart attack. Tim said it, Sixers legend, had a few great years with us. One of my favorite basketball nicknames of all time, Chocolate Thunder. Also, a fun fact, Daryl Dawkins is the reason the rims currently exist as they do in the NBA.
I was just about to say that. Yeah. I was watching highlights of him the other day where he dunked and destroyed the backboard.
1979, he destroyed two backboards, like shattered the glass, brought them down. Yeah. And actually, the second time, the league came to him and said, we're going to fine you if you keep doing this because you're just causing a problem.
Well, I mean, it kind of stops the game. I would love to be at a game to witness that, but I've always wondered, it's got to like stop the game for what,
well, it
like
does
an hour?
Well, I mean, you don't want, like, and thinking about it, like, that's a lot of glass that is now on the floor. Like,
yeah, a lot of glass. I got to get a new backboard up there and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a pain.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, can you really fine a guy for doing that?
Oh, well, did they?
No, he didn't get fined for it because he stopped, obviously, when he got threatened to be fined. But two more fun facts before we move on from the legend that is Daryl Dawkins. His nickname, Chocolate Thunder, was given to him by Stevie Wonder, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And he's also the first NBA player to ever be drafted straight out of high school.
Wow. He played 726 regular season games, and he's seventh best in NBA history with a 57.2 field goal percentage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, big man.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, it was all over the Sirius XM NBA stations ever since it happened. So I've been listening to a lot of really cool stories about what he's meant to other players and people growing up that got to see him live. And unfortunately, that wasn't my time for basketball, so I was never able to see him live.
But I know Dwight Howard put up a pretty emotional post on his Instagram page saying like he was his biggest favorite player or something like that. So
yeah, he's widely regarded as one of the best dunkers of all time, just an icon on and off the court. And it's crazy, it just happened kind of fast. I mean, he was at the 76ers New Jersey unveil, and that was only a few months ago, and just heart attack out of nowhere. It's crazy.
Heart attacks and heart disease is the number one killer for men in the United States.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you are listening to the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. Kevin Rayfuse, Tim Tompkins, Justin Cuzart. If you haven't had a chance yet, go to our website and check out Griffin Conley's new blog post. It's at driveanddishpodcast.com. So we're going to talk about the Hornets in just a second because they just made what I think is a really good contract extension. But before we do that, there's been some news breaking recently, and we wanted to touch on this really quickly, and it's involving Derrick Rose. And I'll let Kevin go ahead and say exactly what it is because he's a little bit better about this. But part of the reason we aren't going to go into much detail on this is because last year, personally, I learned my lesson with Dante Cunningham. And I think that before you publicly indict people that America is a country in which you're innocent until proven guilty, you aren't guilty until proven innocent, and that there are a lot of people out there that will extort famous people and athletes and everything, and it can really ruin somebody's career. So without further ado,
Well, the charges that have been brought against Derrick Rose, well, it's a civil suit. Let me put that in play. There have been no charges filed against Derrick Rose. This is a civil suit.
That's incredibly important, though. Like, this is not a criminal investigation.
Right.
This is a private lawsuit.
Correct. And one of Derrick Rose's, I believe his ex-girlfriend is the term that I was used, is accusing Derrick Rose of, and a friend, of drugging her and then gang raping her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, if true, horrifying. But this is a civil suit. Derrick Rose has come out and said, I'm focused on basketball. This didn't happen. I'm going to let my actions speak for themselves. Derrick Rose's lawyer has passionately denied it, calling it an extortion case. And, you know, like Tim said, we're not really going to get much into it. As of now, Derrick Rose has not been formally charged with anything. So I'm not going to continue with this because we'll let the law handle it.
And you brought this up earlier off the mic, but this sounds like extortion. And if there was actually anything to it, I think that this would be a criminal case.
Probably. I mean, there was another story that just broke actually this morning regarding a top 40 artist. If you don't know who Demi Lovato, there's a thing coming out saying that one of her fans went to meet and greet with her and called her fat and told her she was going to die and apparently flicked her in the private area. And it's like, if you know who Demi Lovato is, her whole thing is she went through rehab and had body image issues. And
I was
just saying, like,
wasn't Demi Lovato fat?
Yeah. It's like she went through all that and you would assume she's not going to say something like that. So, you know, I mean, it's not really, probably not even close to the same thing, but it's like people are just saying things to either get their 15 minutes or maybe try to get it. A lot of the times what I hear they'll do is they'll say this thing, and then instead of taking it to the court and having the media pick it up, is people will just pay it off and make it go away.
Yeah, because they don't even want to deal with it.
Right, and so, you get some cash out of it. So that could also be why this happened. Too.
Right, I mean, like, there were some charges that were filed against Dante Cunningham last year that really derailed his career in Minnesota, and I'm really happy that the Pelicans picked him up and have given him a chance, and that the charges were proven to be completely false.
But it still is like, once you get that,
it was extortion. Mm-hmm. But once you have that reputation, or once the image is made of you, it's really hard to get rid of it. It's like when a newspaper runs a false article and then they have to print a retraction. Nobody ever remembers the retraction.
Well, the way I look at it, and the lesson for me was, I don't know if you guys remember this, was I think it was back in like 2009, if you remember the Duke lacrosse scandal. And they said three top Duke lacrosse players raped this woman. Mm-hmm. And it's horrifying. And it all got found out to be false, but this was not after they were booted from the team, drugged through the mud. And the fact of the matter is when you Google search their names now, that's the first thing that comes up.
And then for interviewers, I mean, I've been told many times by even classes, just, you know, before you go into an interview, Google your name and see what comes up first. And for those guys, that's what comes up first. So that's kind of rough, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's all about having integrity, man. Got to give everybody their fair due.
So Hornets.
Yeah, Hornets are back in the news this week. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is the big news, signing a four-year, $52 million extension. And, you know, we know Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, one of the best defensive players in the league, bar none. And a little bit to work on the offensive game. And I think that's what the Hornets are hoping he does, is becoming more of a complete player. But you already know what you're getting defensively out of Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. But I think he's a key part of this team's future, so I like this deal a lot.
Yeah, I mean, he can guard defensively 1 through 4, and I don't think a lot of people noticed last year because the Hornets weren't very good last year, so nobody was really watching.
Right.
But his point differential is like 10.8 per 100 possessions. He by far has the best point differential of anybody of any players on the Hornets, and you know, he got signed that extension coming out of his rookie scale, so a lot of these contracts coming out of rookie scales on where the team thinks the player is going to go.
Well, and the crazy thing is, so Charlotte is just way better with him on the court. I was looking at numbers. They're a plus 3.1 with him on the court, and they're a minus 7.7 when he's off the court.
Yeah, so you're looking like a 10-point differential right there between on and off numbers.
He actually led the NBA in small forwards and rebounds per game last year.
Yep, almost 8.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's one of those things, like, I feel like it's a no-brainer. And so it comes out to be about $13 million a year or something like that. And the thing with that is they were saying, like, other teams could have potentially offered him a max contract. So them locking him in like that, because the cap going up next year, they locking him in at that cheap when the cap does go up, it's only going to take up something like 10% of their cap space or something like that. So it would give him a lot of room to work.
He's interesting. It's tough with his value a lot of times because, you know, he reminds me in a way of Tony Allen, where they both have that one elite skill. I mean, Tony Allen, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, I'll put their defense against any defender we've mentioned in the league. Mm-hmm. But it's just not all there. So there's right. limits that you get when you know you're paying Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
There were a lot of people making arguments saying that he should have been on the defensive team last year, but I think the fact that he only played 55 games or something like that actually kept him out. But there was a good argument for him to be there. You know, there were some other players that made it over him just because they played more games. So
right. No, I mean, I completely agree with you, and I think you just made a really good point, Kevin. And I especially like how you brought in Tony Allen because, yes, Tony Allen is not – an offensive player by any means, but like Tony Allen, the team is better with him on the court.
Mm-hmm.
And the numbers don't lie in this case when it comes to Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. And he didn't take a single three-pointer last year.
Nice.
So it's one of those things where it's a little bit, you feel like your small forward should take three-pointers, but then again, you have to appreciate the fact that
he knows that's not his game.
He knows it's not his game. His jump shot is looking a lot better. It's still not great, but Michael Kidd-Gilchrist can hit an open 12-footer.
Right.
He has to be open to hit it, but he can hit it, and you need to appreciate the fact that he can at least do that. Now, if he can improve on his mid-range game a bit, like, this is an absolutely amazing contract. And I think the Hornets are really smart because they focused on adding shooters around him.
Right.
This offseason, they've added Nick Batum, Jeremy Lin, Frank Kaminsky, Spencer Hawes. With Nick Batum, you know, it kind of cost him Noah Vonleh, Gerald Henderson, so you can argue the value long-term for that. And they also added Tyler Hansbrough, which is, I think, a really good move as far as a second defensive center is concerned. But mm-hmm. it seems like they're aware that between him and Walker that they have to add shooters around him, and they've done a pretty good job of doing it.
And the other thing I'm thinking is I think they were expecting too much of Al Jefferson. Because he got injured last year. I think their expectations of what they wanted him to do was too much, and I think now they realize that, so they're adding an offensive game around him as well. I think they were relying too heavily on him and Walker, and then it just wasn't working out.
Well, it's going to be interesting because Al Jefferson's one of those guys who gets the ball in the post, and let me preface this by saying he's an excellent post player, one of the best in the league, but he gets the ball in the post, and he kind of turns into a black hole a little bit. It's pretty much feed him, and he's either going to get fouled or he's going to miss or, you know, whatever happens. So I like that they surround him with shooting. I guess my question is, what is the ceiling for the Hornets? And if Batum leaves next year, like, I'm still not sold on the Nick Batum trade, and that has nothing to do with Nick Batum as a player. I worry about their ability to sign him long term. If he doesn't think this is a winning option, only because, you know, you mentioned Al Jefferson as their star. Al Jefferson's only getting older.
Right.
You know, he's on the wrong side of his career. It is starting to get to that point. So you wonder if the Hornets, you know, if it doesn't work this year, if Batum doesn't leave then and Jefferson doesn't start to decline, if they're all the way back where they were a few years ago.
And I feel like no matter what, if you look at all the ESPN ratings that, you know, the analysts are going to give out on how improved the Hornets are, I think everyone's going to be a little wary this year. They're not going to want to...
Because of last
year. We all got burned last year saying so high on them.
They lost Josh McRoberts, right? So they lost their power forward playmaker. Well, Nick Batum was the second leading assist player for... the Trailblazers last year. So they added more playmaking. Jeremy Lin, he's not a great player, but he is fantastic in the pick and roll. And even Spencer Hawes is a really good passer. So they added playmaking. And then to your point, Kevin, you were just saying, well, what's the point if they lose Nick Batum?
Right.
If you're the Hornets, and let's say you can make it to the second round of the playoffs somehow this year, you do lose Nick Batum, but you go into free agency next year and you have some playoff success that you can sell to potential free agents. Even if you can't lock up Nick Batum long term, I feel like that can be a selling point for your organization.
My only fear is if they see Batum's leaving and they look at how much of a part of that playoff success he would be, and then they see he's leaving and they don't go for that. And my bigger beef with the Batum trade is I just think they gave up on Vonleh really quickly.
I mean, they did.
And that to me is, you know, this kid is 19 years old. Like, you're giving up on a top 10 pick after 1 year. It's the same argument that I used for the Kings when they got rid of Stauskas. It just, I'm not ready to give up on a top 10 pick after 1 year.
No, there must have, like, we aren't there in training camp. We aren't there in practice. There must have been something that they didn't like about him.
Right, and that's what I was going to bring up. I think what they have to decide now is, do they want veterans or do they want rookies? Are they a win-now team, or are they kind of... you know, win a few games, but don't make it into the playoffs and get a better pick and, you know, work on it next year type thing? Are they going for a, are they trying to make the playoffs this year is my question.
I think they absolutely are trying to make the playoffs this year. I think if you look at every move, listen, Charlotte starved for the playoffs.
Right.
Beyond last year. I mean, they got in, or not last year, the year before, they got in against the Heat and got swept out. But this is a team that, frankly, hasn't had a lot of success in the last few years. So I think there is a sense of desperation for the playoffs, and I understand that to appease your fan base a little bit. I just don't know how much long-term viability this team has.
Well,
and
I mean,
don't...
if they have their core, if your core is going to be Frank Kaminsky, MKG, and Kemba Walker, if you believe as an organization you have your core, the only thing you need to do is to add role players around your core. So if they believe that that core they have can one day develop into a championship team.
And don't forget, they got Jeremy Lin. That's a very good backup point guard for
them.
Well,
I mean, he's fantastic in the pick and roll. So
right.
If you put him up there with Al Jefferson and Hansborough and, you know, even run some pick and pop with, like, Hawes and Kaminsky, that's what Jeremy Lin does.
Right. They need a good backup point guard, too. I mean, by every statistical analysis, Kemba Walker is a bottom 15 point guard in the league. He's got things that I like about him. Don't get me wrong, but you need somebody to supplement him a little bit. He's not going to light the world on fire either.
Well, Kemba Walker was really good when he had lanes to the basket and he had an open floor. And last year, they didn't have any shooting. And he didn't have a secondary ball handler. And now you're adding shooting around him, and you're adding two ball handlers with Nick Batum and Jeremy Lin.
I've seen some analysts saying they're going to be the second best improved team of next year already.
Well, I tweeted this out yesterday, and I was sitting there in my house, and I was thinking about all the teams that got better, and how every summer I think every team got better.
Yep.
until the season starts, I'm like, oh, that experiment.
So snap judgments. The Hornets, do they make the playoffs next year?
8th seed. But I'm also going to say that I haven't done my Eastern or Western Conference
so you don't know for
predictions
sure.
yet. But I think that there's no reason why they can't make the playoffs with this lineup.
I think they're just going to miss it. I think they're just going to miss it.
Yeah, I think I have about 9 probably.
Yeah, I want them to. I just don't think they're going to have enough to push it over.
Well, Nick Batum's in a contract here. Nick Batum is going to be phenomenal this year because he's looking for that paycheck,
and I think a lot of people, even on fantasy, are probably going to bet a little low on him because they're not going to take into account that his wrist was the problem last year, pretty much the whole year.
The year before, he was a top 20 player. That's where I drafted him. Last year, he was a top 60 player. So
if you can get him in 60, at 60, right, like, wow.
Then that's a steal.
Right. The other thing I wanted to bring up, though, this is kind of cool. Stephanie Reddy, do you know who this is?
No.
She is going to become the first full-time female NBA game analyst.
I read about this.
Yeah, she's going to join the team for the Charlotte Hornets. That's why I'm bringing it up for this upcoming regular season. So shout out to her.
So is she doing color commentary? Or
they said she's going to be the play-by-play announcer.
Oh, nice. Good for her.
Yeah, so that's pretty exciting. You know, give a little shout out to her. So
yeah,
and the Hornets for breaking ground on that.
You guys ever been to Charlotte?
No,
I went to Charlotte for the first time. Like, I think it was back. Yeah, it was July. It was about a month ago. Liked it. I had some great breakfast there, man. I had some of the best French toast I've ever had.
So it was pleasant.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest, for the longest time, I didn't know how close Charlotte was. I always assumed it was in, like, the middle Midwest area.
I thought you were going to say the Middle East.
I was going to say Middle East, but I meant to say Midwest. We're actually a lot closer than I thought.
The thing I didn't realize with Charlotte, because it's like 5.5-6 hours away from Jacksonville, is it's right over the border from South Carolina. Like, it's at the part of North Carolina where it kind of starts to shrink a little bit. You know, there's that weird little end.
Yeah.
And it's just like right over the border. I had no idea it was right on the border of South Carolina. Anyways, this is the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. Kevin Rafuse, Tim Tompkins, Justin Kuzart. Follow us on Twitter at Drive and Dish NBA.
So we wanted to talk about Kyrie Irving and his broken kneecap, because apparently it's going to take him quite some time to recover from the surgery. They're saying he may not come back till January.
I know. I'm wondering if I would have known this, I would have placed them. I would have argued greater to have the when we did our top 5 1-2 punches.
Oh, right, yeah.
To place them lower on that list, had I have known that, or even at that point, maybe even argued for Kevin Love. But I mean, I did bring up the injury multiple times while we were doing it. So
agreed.
Well, and there's a very good chance. I mean, Kevin Love could be better than Kyrie Irving this year if he fits in the right way.
So this is the question I have: what if Kyrie stays out till January, and LeBron and Love get this chemistry finally going, and Love is the number two guy, And then Kyrie comes in and has to be this. I feel like Kyrie can't be the number three person in this group because he commands the ball so much and he makes his own shot. So he needs the ball. So he needs to be the second option if LeBron's number one. And then that's going to push Love back to being number three. And I'm just worried, is the chemistry going to be able to flip that quick at that time in the season, because they're, you know, that at that point they're going.
I don't know. I don't see it as an issue. I think last year we saw times in which Irving was really comfortable delegating the responsibilities to LeBron, and then there were other times when he was also comfortable taking over the game. So I don't feel like the chemistry is going to be that big of an issue.
Okay.
But I think, you know, you just made a good point that this gives Love and LeBron a really good opportunity to work on building that chemistry together. And last year I was expecting to see a lot of pick and pop and a lot of pick and roll, 3-4 pick and roll, 3-4 pick and pop between Love and LeBron. And I frankly did not see that much of it. So I'm hoping to see a lot more of that this year.
Okay, and then the other thing is, you know, getting Mo Williams to come to the team kind of looks pretty good now because they needed that.
I mean, I think at the earlier in the year that I said that the Mo Williams pickup might have been one of the most underrated signings.
And now
signings.
It really looks good.
Now it looks really good. I was also thinking about his fantasy value. Because last year when he was starting, he was averaging what, like 20-11 or something.
He was doing big numbers for a guy flying pretty under the radar.
Yeah, he was fantastic. So I wonder what his fantasy value is going to be. Because if you're looking at it from a fantasy perspective, he'll carry you half the season,
and then you got to move on.
Right, but then you got to move on. But then again, Kyrie Irving, and what in Kyrie Irving's first season, he played 51 games. He played 57 in his second, and the last two, he was able to play in the low 70s. But if I were a Cavs fan, I would be extremely worried about Kyrie Irving's health going forward. I mean, since he's been in college, it's been one major injury after another.
I think it's something you have to be wary about. I think you have to be a little optimistic of the fact that, like you said, he was able to play 70 games the last 2 years.
Right.
And I think you have to be optimistic if you're a Cavs fan, in the sense that this team took the Warriors, who were bar none the best team in the league last year, to six games without Kyrie or Kevin Love. You get a healthy Kevin Love back. You get Kyrie Irving back in January. I don't think this is a big deal, unless it turns out to be the injury is way worse than we expected, because the Cavaliers aren't playing for January.
Right.
The Cavaliers, you know, it reminds me of the Heat a few years ago when people with the Heat were like, oh man, they're not going to be the number one seed. And it doesn't matter. Cleveland is, and Tim's going to argue with me here, because I already know he feels differently. But Cleveland is far and away the best team in the East. Pending a collapse, they are easily going to win the East. And so I don't think it matters. If they're healthy for the playoffs, that's all that matters for Cleveland, because there is nobody pending injury that is going to stop them in the Eastern Conference.
Right. That was actually going to be my next question, is because obviously the Cavs are going to make the playoffs in the East. The position that they make it in could be different depending on when they bring it down. The Cavs are in a really weird situation that I think only the Cavs could be in, where like they don't have to rush Kyrie Irving back. Any other team would be trying to rush him back in the beginning of the season to get their best player playing.
And that's the thing. Take care of his health.
Yeah.
It's not important to win games at the beginning of the year for this Cleveland team. This Cleveland team, know when their games matter in June.
Mm-hmm.
They don't matter right now. Take your time with his health. Know his injury risks. Don't rush him back like you did last year, where you tried to get him to play in game one and probably made it worse, which I understand being in the finals. I'm not going Captain Hindsight here. I get it at the time. But you have the luxury of patience. Be patient.
But then again, looking at it, you also want to go into the playoffs playing teams that aren't going to destroy your or make you tired going into the next round. You want to be like, if you're the number one seed, you're probably going to be playing an eight seed, which could be the Hornets, for what we were just talking about. If it's the Hornets, that's, I would like to assume, an easier matchup for the Cavs than if they had to play the Bulls or something like that. Well, so then they can wean out some of the better teams by making the one seed or making the two seed, where they don't have to play the tougher teams. But at the same time, I feel like the Cavs, that's not going to be the biggest problem.
I get it. I do. I just think it's irrelevant. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think the Cavs are going to get whoever's the best out of the rest of the East, be it Atlanta, be it Chicago, be it Miami, potentially in the ECF. I just don't think there's going to be a way to avoid that. They're going to get pushed a little bit because they're playoff teams. But again, I'm just of the firm belief that it doesn't matter. Cleveland is going to win the Eastern Conference. if I were a betting man, I would probably put my house on it.
Now, what about the Pacers?
I think it's important to build that chemistry throughout the year. And Cleveland's going to be put in not their best position going into the playoffs. But to Kevin's point, their team's so good.
Yeah.
The positioning of the playoffs doesn't really matter. But if, and you just mentioned that, if they're going into the playoffs and they don't have as good of a seed, that those rounds are going to get longer. You look at Kevin Love, who unfortunately has that injury history. They're all kind of random, but every year he's kind of injured.
Same with
Irving.
You
look at Kyrie Irving, who can barely walk at times. I think that this is more of a worry for Cleveland long-term, and I've been saying this since Kyrie Irving came into the league, that the dude is just constantly injured. I don't think that highly of him. Kyrie Irving was never able to get Cleveland into even an eighth seed when he had a good team around him.
He's a classic example prior to LeBron coming over of the, is he a good player putting up empty stats on a bad team?
But yeah. My question was, is the team that he had in Cleveland really that good? I think Dang was the best second player.
I'd have to go back and I'd have to look at the lineup, but they had, like, you're talking about the East where you had Kyrie Irving, Luau Deng. There were a couple of other pretty good players on the
Varejao,
team.
Varejao, I would Varejao, assume, was there.
And that was when
Varejao's always hurt.
Yeah, but Varejao was better than he is now.
Waiters.
Waiters is terrible.
Yeah, I mean, he was always awful, but that team had enough pieces where they should have. There was no reason for them to be as bad as they were, regardless of if they
But if you look at it, like, the Celtics were pretty good. Brooklyn was always making it to the playoffs. The Hawks were always making it to the playoffs.
They were not only not making the playoffs, they were terrible.
Tim's point is that if Kyrie Irving is a transcendent superstar, that it shouldn't matter in a conference that bad.
Right.
I think that's what you're going for.
I mean, essentially, or even if they aren't making the playoffs, close to it, and he had players around him that should have made it to where they were at least competing for that eighth seed. So I'm
kind of like Anthony Davis,
right.
I guess.
I've never been a Kyrie guy. I'm never going to be, and I can't pretend to. But losing him is kind of a big deal. I the thing about the East next year is that you have the Raptors look like they're going to be a lot better. Chicago looks like they're going to be better. The Pistons look like they're going to be better. The Pacers are going to be better. Yeah. The Bucks are going to be better.
The Heat are most likely going to make the playoffs.
I think the Heat.
Well, the Heat are definitely going to make it.
Are a lot better. And then you look at other teams. Atlanta's probably going to be just as good. We'll have to see how the experiment of playing really big goes. But Atlanta should be just as good as they were last year. And I think that the Wizards will be just as good as they were
last Hornets.
Year. Then the Hornets are going to be better. So if you're looking at the East, the path to the playoffs isn't going to be as easy as it was last year. So it's not detrimental. I'm more, as a Cavs fan, like, this is not what you want to hear.
I think the chemistry I think the chemistry is a concern. I think getting him back in January is going to be big, and I think he's good enough that he'll be able to fit into whatever they're doing. I think that he's a team player, and I think LeBron's going to basically pull him to the side and say, "Listen, if we're rolling, you got to accept it." And I agree with your point. I think the East as a whole is much more competitive than it's been recently. I think 1 through 8. I mean, outside of maybe 8, you don't really have any quote-unquote scrub teams getting into the playoffs.
No, the Celtics got better. I didn't mention that either. I mean, the Celtics had some pieces that should make them a lot better, too.
It's just they're all, like, these are all nice teams.
No,
they're all one step away. It's not like the West to me where there's 5 legitimate contenders.
Well, I think Chicago and Heat are championship teams, though. Like, I think that Chicago, if you put it...
Pacers, too, maybe?
Well, no, not the Pacers.
Okay.
I think that Chicago, if you would have changed their offense last year, could have been a championship team. They could have made the finals. And then the Heat going forward this year, like, they bolstered their bench, and that starting lineup is as good as any other starting lineup in the East, and probably some of the teams out West, too. So depending on what they can get out of Gerald Green and Amari Stoudemire, like, the Heat could be really good, too. So I don't think that it's the same cakewalk. And so you're going to have LeBron, who can't take those 2 weeks off when he was supposed to, you know, I'm assuming, like he did last year. You have Kevin Love, who is going to have to play longer minutes and throughout the season. I don't know. It's not a huge deal, but it's
Will Kevin Love, though, if they got Thompson? I mean,
yeah, like, maybe he can still take some time off.
That's a big if, too.
That's why I said if. You never know.
Well, Tristan Thompson will be there next year. In what capacity he's there, they don't know. Like, he's either going to accept the qualifying offer or sign a new contract. So he's going to be there.
Well, there's some interesting reports going on. You know, we've talked about the drama surrounding Tristan Thompson. There's a report that leaked out that, you know, where's Tristan Thompson from? He's from our neighbors to the north in Canada. He wants to go play.
Yeah, I've heard
Toronto.
The Raptors rumors.
We talked about that last week, didn't we?
Mm-mm.
Week before?
I don't think we did.
Oh.
Yeah, it's one of those things. But I feel like I feel like any player that's from Canada, it's always like, the
Raptors.
Well,
they say that's the push. That's what we talked about a little bit last week, is they want to push. I mean, there's a lot of basketball talent coming out from Canada. I mean, you look at Wiggins, you look at Tristan Thompson, you look at Nick Stauskas, you look at, you know, obviously Anthony Bennett's not the best example, but Anthony Bennett's Canadian. Some of Jamal Murray, for one of the biggest prospects next year in next year's draft, is just dominated for Team Canada at the World Championship. So, interesting stuff to watch. Finn Connolly, he's always just putting great stuff out on our blog every single week at driveanddishpodcast.com. But why don't we switch gears a little bit and get into Random Player of the Week?
You know what they say. The more you know, the more you know you don't know.
Want to know a little secret about education? It'll improve your sex life.
It's random NBA player highlights on the Drive and Dish podcast.
All right, your random NBA player of the week is Jamal Franklin. Franklin was selected 41st overall in the 2013 NBA draft by the Memphis Grizzlies. He played college ball at San Diego State, where he was the Mountain West Conference Player of the Year, as well as All-American in his junior season. During his rookie season in the NBA, he played with the Fort Wayne Mad Ants of the NBA Development League. Franklin then joined the Grizzlies for the 2014 Summer League, but was waived. Franklin then decided to go over to China. He signed a one-month contract extension with the Chinese team, the Lions. And that day, he scored 53 points on 19 of 29 shooting in their win 120-112 over the Flying Dragons. He played about 26 games over in China. Then he decided to try to come back to the NBA, where he played for the Los Angeles Defenders, where he had a season-best game with 27 points and 13 rebounds over the Austin Spurs. In 2015, this year, Franklin signed with the Denver Nuggets. He made his debut for the team and recorded one rebound and one assist in a 122-111 win over the Sacramento Kings. You could tell they won because of him. But I think Franklin is most well-known for his cousin, a platinum producer that goes by the name Hit-Boy. He's produced with big-name artists such as Kid Cudi, Kanye West, Jay-Z, Lil Wayne, Eminem, 50 Cent, Mary J. Blige, Chris Brown, Snoop Dogg, The Biebs, Drake, and Kendrick Lamar, and many others. He still currently plays for the Denver Nuggets. I bring you Jamal Franklin, NBA shooting guard at 6'5", 191 pounds.
Welcome.
You've got mail.
Gather around, everyone.
Oh, boy.
All right, so first question we got on mailbag comes from Fluffy Sock Ninja on Twitter. He asks, when do you guys think it will become Chris Paul's fault that his teams don't win, or does he get the Steve Nash treatment?
You can look at a lot of players, and I think when you're in the moment that there's always going to be this argument for he doesn't have a ring or he only has one ring, and this like in the moment side-by-side comparison. But when you look back at a lot of really great players, and I'll use Charles Barkley to bring up a Suns reference because we're talking about Steve Nash, that a lot people recognize how great Charles Barkley was. And I think with Chris Paul has been able to make every single team he's been on better. You have players like Melo who haven't been able to do that, and that's the difference. So I think when you're looking at somebody like Steve Nash, who never won a ring, he was a two-time MVP, but those 7 seconds or less, the teams were better because he was on them, and he made the players around him better. So I don't think that Chris Paul is going to come under fire. Everyone respects what he does and knows how good he is.
Right, I agree with that. I do think Melo makes his teams better, though, on a side note.
Do you?
I do. I mean, Melo's one of the best shooters in the league.
But I don't think he makes the teams better. And Kevin brought this up earlier, a player that's getting empty stats on crappy teams. And I think Melo's a top five small forward, but I don't think that he makes the players around him any better.
I think it makes them have open looks. Maybe he's not passing to them, but they have open looks. Oh. No, but same thing. Chris Paul, I don't think he'll ever be at fault for that. Because he plays at such a high level, he'll always be good. I mean, if suddenly his career turns to crap and next year he can't guard anybody and can't play the defense that he's playing and can only put up 10 points a game, which is still good for Chris Paul, but I think then maybe the conversation happens if for the next however many seasons he's in, he's only putting up crappy numbers.
Yeah, well, in every single year that they've been in the playoffs, the Clippers, they were supposed to lose that round, barring last year when they collapsed against the Rockets. But every other year, they were the team that was supposed to lose when they lost. And so you were supposed to lose and you did. Until Chris Paul has a series of teams that they should be beating in the playoffs that they aren't.
The Rockets is the first, but we'll see.
That's probably an outlier. But until that happens multiple times, I don't think that those calls are going to be as strong as other people do.
Right. Two big points that I want to make. One is I think Chris Paul got a lot of that off his back when he beat the Spurs in Game 7 this year.
I was just thinking
because
that.
That was just an incredible, incredible one-man effort of a guy saying, we're not losing. And, I mean, obviously hit the game winner, but, I mean, Chris Paul took over that game. And I think that helps a lot when it's saying, you know, get on my back. I can do this. I can take a team like the Spurs out. And I think in comparison with Melo, you know, for better or for worse, Melo is going to get it because Melo is a big-time scorer. And I think when you're a big scorer like that, there's always going to be that comparison because it's like, well, you should have put up more points then. Maybe if you put up more points, your team would have won. Chris Paul's a point guard. I don't think anybody really expects your point guard, as a casual basketball fan, to be the guy who comes out and lights the world on fire.
Your point guard shouldn't be your leading scorer.
Right. And Chris Paul, we know, is the traditional sense of a point guard. He's not a Kyrie Irving or a Russell Westbrook, for example.
Even Russell Westbrook, though, I wouldn't put Kyrie and Russell into the same realm because I watched the game one again, actually, of the 2011-2012 finals with OKC and the Heat. And Russell Westbrook, you know, then there were calls for that he was a shooting guard, not a point guard. He did play shooting guard in college, but that's not the point. The point I'm trying to make, Russell Westbrook puts up really solid assist numbers every year, whereas Kyrie Irving is averaging like 5.3.
Right.
I mean, there was a game last year with Kyrie Irving where he took 18 shots and had zero assists. And LeBron talked to him after that. But I find that disgusting out of a point guard.
Yeah, I don't want to. I mean, it was more the comparison for me was more of they both can't score at will and a lot of times pull the trigger before they'll, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I was watching,
like, there was one play in that game I was just telling you about where Ibaka was posting up Dwayne Wade and Russell Westbrook didn't see him and didn't get Ibaka the ball. And I was just thinking, classic Westbrook.
Anyway, so the next question comes on Twitter. It's from Hector J. Garza at @ Hector J. Garza. He asks, Randy Moss has been rumored to want to come back in the NFL. Which retired NBA player could still play? He votes Shaq.
I mean, Shaq definitely. I'm sure, like, for whatever reason, I just feel like Michael Jordan probably could. I feel, and it wasn't.
Well,
he could
shoot.
Yeah, wasn't there even rumor that he was going to come play for the Hornets two years ago?
One game, he was going to appear in one game. It never happened.
It'd sell out.
Yeah. So maybe Jordan, Shaq's a good one as well. Maybe even Charles Barkley. I feel like he might be able to do something.
Oh, Barkley's no way. Barkley's so out of shape at this point of his career. Barkley's not running up and down the floor.
The other one on the TNT halftime show?
We saw Elijah Wan.
That is true. Elijah Wan.
Yeah, Elijah Wan of the Dream Shake.
Yep.
Who's the other one I'm thinking on the TNT halftime show that played?
Oh, Kenny Smith?
Kenny Smith. Do you think he could do it?
Yeah, I mean, because he can shoot.
Yeah, I think he could come back.
Ray Allen?
Yeah, Ray I mean, Ball. I wasn't going to go that shawty.
Okay, come on.
Man, oh, man. He's 1 year off.
I bet Grant Hill could probably play really limited minutes on team somewhere.
Yeah, Grant Hill, yeah, he played 2 years ago. He wouldn't get a lot of minutes.
No, what about your favorite player? He just retired from the Cavs. Like this year, Sean Marion.
I'm still, it blows my mind that Sean Marion, and I'm sure a listener will correct me if I'm wrong, but got 0 minutes in the playoffs. I realize he's not the player he was, but it blew my mind that they did not at least give him spot minutes.
Dude, he was really bad at the beginning of the year for them. Like, yeah. I love Sean Marion. Like, he's great.
Spot minutes, I'm surprised, just to give those guys some rest because he's still okay.
To
the point to where he shouldn't have played at all. Like, why did you sign somebody that couldn't play at all?
Right.
And that's the thing. It was the first.
I don't think
contract.
They thought he couldn't play at all.
Yeah, I don't think they gave him a chance.
What about T-Mac? Didn't he talk about how he was like training with Kobe to come back?
Oh, hey, speaking of the Sixers and a rapper, guess who's trying out for the Sixers D-League team?
Oh, well, Lil B is trying out for the Sixers D-League team. I'm excited. This means we're not going to get cursed.
And you know what also is kind of exciting?
He followed all of us on Twitter. Oh, man.
No, he actually just followed me, or you guys. He didn't follow me. Did he follow you personally?
He followed me personally.
Oh, man. That stinks for you.
Oh, you got the curse. You're the one he's cursing.
Oh, man. Thank you, base god.
Yeah.
We see you.
Anyway, so the final question comes from Sean Ace on Facebook. He asks, well, this is a two-part here. What is your best icebreaker at the bar with a, quote, fresh female? Mm. And thoughts on James Harden getting Lamar Odom's girl, that's Khloe Kardashian for those of you who don't know, and if you could sleep with any of the Kardashian girls, who would it be and why?
You know, the thing with icebreakers is I've always thought they kind of seemed corny to me. Like when they're blatantly obviously an icebreaker. So I usually just walk up and say, hi, what's your name? And go from there. Which I know that's an icebreaker, but like it's just, I feel like going up and be like, hey, how much does a panda weigh? Like I feel like that's
how much does a panda weigh?
Enough to break the ice. Damn.
I usually try and find something about, if I can't find something that they're wearing on their outfit that isn't at all related to their boobs. You know, if like, let's say I like their shoes or their dress or a necklace or something that just like, don't tell a woman that she has on a nice shirt, depending on, you know, whatever. Just use your best judgment on that. Other than that, also mentioning something about their drink, although about a month and a half ago, I actually wore a name tag to the bar.
We went through this.
Yeah. And no one said anything to me.
I was going to say, I was going to blow your spot up, but it didn't work at all.
But, you know, the point is, people looked.
But it didn't work. They didn't talk to you.
It's not my fault that they're too shy to say hello.
No one talked.
I told you. I told you this is a bad idea.
I like that transition. I wore a name tag, and no one talked to me.
But they all looked, and that's the thing about, like, when I dance, for example, all the girls are just too shy to dance with me.
Oh, boy.
That's not because
my dancing
is bad.
They're not dancing.
That's because they're too shy to come up, because, I mean, I can be intimidating out there on the dance floor.
I love the stupid jokes in the right situation.
Right.
Kind of like what Justin just did. In the right situation, you say something like, what's a good stupid joke? Oh, what did the ocean say to the boat?
Nothing.
It just waved.
Yeah. Yeah, no, stupid jokes really work well. It allows for them, their first impression of you is a smile, and they realize it's a stupid joke.
You know what the other question is?
Well, chicks love people that are funny.
And you know what I learned? Actually, I used to work at a sales, and anybody that's listening, if you've worked in sales, you'll know what I'm talking about. They talk all the time about how when you ask a girl a question, or if you're asking them, like, so like, Tim, say you're talking to your girlfriend, or talking to your ball, and you're trying to see where that ball wants to go to dinner. If you say, where do you want to go to dinner? They're going to say, I don't know. Right? Mm-hmm. If you say, do you want to go to dinner to TGI Fridays or Applebee's? Both terrible choices, by the way. but then that gives them the power. You didn't give them the option to say, I don't know, I'm not sure. You gave them two options, and now they have to pick one of those two. So like in a car sales situation, you say, okay, you know, can I put you in the red truck or do you want to be in the blue truck? You don't give them the option to say, no, I don't want the truck. Mm-hmm. At this point, I'm telling you, you're buying this car already. Do you want the red truck or the blue one? You know what I mean? There you go.
I've absolutely heard that. I've always found with women, what you want to do with women is you want to give them the impression that they made, and you're talking about the same concept, give them the impression that they were the one that made the decision.
When it's really you,
mm-hmm. you want to make them think that they came up with the idea.
Right.
So you can absolutely control the person you're dating by making them think that they came up with
saying
the idea.
Saying that you control them sounds a little wrong.
Yeah,
though.
That sounds terrible. All right, anyway, second part of the question. We're going to end it there. So the second part of the question is, what do you think about James Harden getting Lamar Odom's girl?
I felt like I saw, I don't care, I saw a picture of the birthday party or whatever, and it looked pretty boring.
Dude, it looked like Kanye.
No, it was hilarious. Kanye West was asleep, and James Harden's behind him just being James Harden.
Yeah, super
I don't know.
Party,
I mean,
buddy.
The game is the game, you know, they divorced.
It happens, man.
And so the final question.
I actually want to tell you, I have no idea who the Kardashians are.
Oh.
I've heard their name for years. I have no clue who they are.
Well, you've seen the porno, I'm sure.
No, I don't think so.
Really?
I find that shocking and damn near implausible.
I'm not a person that has ever really been interested in celebrity leak tapes.
Okay.
Interesting. So you don't have any input on which Kardashian you would sleep with the most.
I don't know who they are. I don't know what they look like.
That's
either Kylie or Kendall Jenner. I'm sorry. Kendall or Kylie Jenner.
Well, Kylie's 18 now, so you're not a creep.
Both are above age.
Well, yeah, now Kylie is. Kylie was 17 like a week ago.
Well, she's 18 now.
You're right. Born in oh, never mind. We're not gonna say that. Anyway, so that's your choice.
Well, of course.
You can't pick both. You gotta pick one.
Yeah, the skinnier one, Kaylee?
Kendall.
Kendall.
Kendall's the skinnier one.
Kendall, the skinnier one.
She's the model.
Yeah, I like the model.
Kendall Marshall?
No, Kendall Jenner.
You know, Kendall Marshall tweeted the other day that he spends a lot of time thinking about what his legacy in the NBA will be.
That's interesting. He's got a great Twitter handle, though. It's K Butter, which I always appreciate.
K-Butter.
But anyway, so I'm sleeping with actually Lamar Odom's girl, too, Khloe Kardashian. I don't know what, and like, this came out of nowhere, but she was on the cover of Complex magazine like a month or two ago. And
she's good looking.
I don't know what it is,
she's
but
the
like,
oldest one, too.
Right. And there's something about like the maturity and the fact that she actually like seems funny and like we'd like laugh about it afterwards and it wouldn't be like kind of awkward.
She's not crazy like the left.
Right.
Like,
so I'm going to, though Lamar Odom smoked crack after dating her. So if I end up smoking crack, send me to intervention.
You know, people have this, they've always had this like huge negative connotation to crack, right?
But all, here we go.
But all crack is a form of Coke, but that same negative connotation doesn't ring true for Coke.
Well, because it's stronger Coke and will actually kill you. Well, Coke could too, but like
essentially it is a little bit stronger, but I've never understood why everyone's like, oh my God, crack's a terrible thing, but Coke, depending on the circle you're in, can kind of be socially acceptable.
Well, because it's
they're kind of the same damn
thing. Well, because it's Coke is being associated with being wealthy, for better or for worse. Like
exactly.
Coke is a wealthy person's drug, where crack is a $5 to $10 bum is buying a hit on the street and smoking out of a disgusting broken crack pipe.
They're essentially the same thing.
So
I mean, regardless, you shouldn't do drugs. I mean, we are not advocating any of this.
But the social thoughts between the two, and you're even talking about prison time, is drastically different between coke and crack.
Well, I don't think any drug addict should go to prison, but that's a whole different rant for another day.
Right.
Unless they hurt somebody.
So
but,
I
want to
say, for anybody listening at work, I'm sorry we just got you fired for listening to Drug Dog for the past 5 minutes.
That's true. We talked about sleeping with people, pick up artists, ways to hit on women, and
crack.
Well, these are what our listeners are asking us. We know what we get in the mailbag. Sean asked the question. We answered the question.
If you're listening through mailbag, that's because
how
you
did,
really
wait,
enjoy
wait.
The show.
No, but my thing is, not in one point in that question did he talk about drugs at all.
Well, it came up with the Lamar Odom thing afterwards.
Regardless,
anyway, and if UK Piston is still listening to this, man, I really hope we made your workday exciting today.
We made it go so damn
fast.
Well,
hopefully you listen through earbuds.
Mm.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, I would think somebody would be pretty obnoxious, unless they have their own office, would be pretty obnoxious sitting in your desk just cranking a podcast
up.
Well,
people have offices.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. Unless you have an office.
Well,
I don't know. UK Piston, do you have an office? Let us know.
But why is it unless you have an office? Shouldn't it be if you aren't fortunate enough to have an office?
I think you're being shallow and pedantic.
I do what I can.
So thank you, everyone, for giving us your mailbag questions. We really appreciate it, as always. You can always hit us up on Twitter and Facebook. But thank you, everyone, for listening to the Drive and Dish podcast. We really appreciate you, as always. Leave us a review on iTunes. We will get to them. As we said, we've had a backup as of late, which is awesome. Thank you guys so much. We really appreciate all your time giving us reviews. It helps us move up in the rankings on iTunes. It is not an ego stroke, I promise. But please leave us a review on iTunes. And we would appreciate it, and we'll read it on the show.
And if you happen to have an Android, we're on all of the different Android apps, whether it be Stitcher, Player FM, TuneIn, the Podbean. There's a host of them. I'm pretty sure we're on all of them, still working on getting on Spotify. If you haven't had a chance yet, though, to leave us a review on any of those, we'd really appreciate it. Also, go to driveanddishpodcast.com, check out Griffin's blog, and there's also a contact submission form. So this coming season, we are going to do an NBA fantasy basketball league with our listeners. We had a lot of fun with this last year. If you're interested, go to the website driveanddishpodcast.com, send us an email through the contact submission form, let us know you're interested, and then when we're ready to do the draft, we'll hit you up and see if you're still down.
Yeah, and move quick on that, because I know we've already had a few people interested about that. Yeah,
and it's going to be a 12 person. I won't do any larger than 12.
Okay. And so you can follow us on Twitter at @DriveInDishNBA for our show Twitter page. You can follow me personally at Justin C on the air. You can follow Kevin at Refuse to Lose, and you can follow Tim at Radio Tim NBA.
So this episode's going up. It'll be our first one in the month of September when this finally goes up. Previews are right around the corner.
Oh man, yeah, we gotta get on those.
You need to go to a church because you are now cursed by Lil B.
I think we've done enough dancing for today. So why don't we dance Wednesday?
See you, Star Side.
Okay, well, I'm out of here.
It's in the hole.
Da 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 da. Hey. Da 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 da. Hey.
Let's go while we're young.
All right. I think they get the point. Ha ha!